Judging by the participation that we got in that song, I think we should open every service with it from now on. Dancing in the aisles is allowed, clapping hands, singing praises. It's all a wonderful thing. So as we just prepare our hearts today for the rest of the service, which includes communion today, so just think about that as we're going through things. I just want to take us through a time of prayer, and I would just ask that you bow your heads with me as we just speak to the Lord. Heavenly Father, we come before you today with full and grateful hearts. But in those hearts, Lord, is also room for mercy and grace, which you have provided in abundance to us. You are the Lord of heaven, the Lord of earth, and the one who gives and sustains life, and the one who works all things together for good for those who love you. Father, we thank you for this church, for this building. Without you in it, Lord, it's just a building. But with you in it, Lord, it's your church. And we just pray that you'll glorify yourself in a special way with and through us who are here in the church. We just pray, Lord, that you'll keep bringing people who are seeking you each week, people who have an insatiable thirst for you, people who seek your word, Lord, just to fill up an empty space in our hearts, people who want to be obedient in service to you. And we just pray that through all that come through these doors, Lord, that we can just be discerning and joyous and heartfelt and loving and just seek your will. Father, we look at Mount Forest and the surrounding area as our mission field here. And we just pray that you'll intensify that thought amongst us. And just use us, Lord, to shine your light into this community. And now, Father, as we continue our service today, we just pray your blessing upon our offerings. And, Father, many, many years ago, we abandoned passing the tray around for offerings, but we leave it at the back and we let people just think about what's on their heart. And you've just impressed upon us to give generously, and we're so thankful for that, just to help build your kingdom. So everything that we have is yours, and we give as an act of worship and an act of trust. So we ask that you bless the gifts that we have set before you and that you use them to your kingdom, to reach the lost, to care for the needy, and to strengthen your church. We place all our trust in you, O Sovereign Lord. We just pray that you keep us humble, keep us faithful, and keep us united in your purpose. And may all that we do bring glory to the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. We pray this today. Amen. And our scripture reading today is, there it is. Then Jesus said, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light." May God add to the reading of his word this morning, and I'll just make myself vacant here.
Thank you, Mark. Appreciate that. Good morning. Good to have you here. Today we're going to have a little talk about our walk. Can I be heard up there, Art? How's that? A little talk about your and my walk. Have you seen a mom, dad, auntie, uncle, grandpa? I love the scene where the toddler is learning how to walk and the older person is just waiting for them to take those tentative steps forward. It's quite beautiful. And as a toddler gains that confidence and takes one step at a time, I would like to impress on you today the value of taking one step at a time. Not complicating your life right now. You may be thinking about a beautiful summer that's gone by, and you are stressing about school and the coming days. And when I was teaching, I would always call this the race to Christmas. We get to September, and it's like, let's just race to Christmas. We look back, oh, the summer. This is one of the few weekends of the year where people actually stop and do their best to live in the present moment because they don't want to go any farther. Blaise Pascal said, if we're not careful, we constantly live in the future, wondering when things are going to be better, or we constantly focus on the past and regret it or wish it stayed. He says, we wander about in times that do not belong to us and blindly flee the only one that does. I love the old song. We have this moment to hold in our hands and to touch as it slips through our fingers like sand. Yesterday's gone. Tomorrow may never come. But we have this moment today. Lord Jesus, would you give us your heart, your mind, your very presence as promised. We thank you that you live in the blessed, eternal present. Would you teach us today how to walk with you and show us that one more step that each of us need to take to get closer to you. And we ask it in your precious name, Lord Jesus. Amen. I love it when God asks questions. They're really searing and amazing. Isaiah chapter 41, have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He doesn't faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. Even young people. And we got a few very strong young people here. Even young youths shall grow weary. The presupposition here is us older folks are getting tired. Even youths shall grow faint and weary. Young men shall stumble and fall. But those who wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. And look at the trajectory. They will mount up on wings as eagles, run and not be weary, walk and not faint. Anybody feel the days of, I believe I can fly, are over? And you're slowing down and life's getting a little bit harder as we age. I'm on the team. I get 20% off at Shoppers Drug Mart on Thursdays. I'm on the team. And I looked up some people, very encouraging, who said, you know what? I'm going to keep walking even as I get older. Arthur Ashkin, at 96 years old, 96, won the 2018 Nobel Peace Prize in a bunch of very complicated physics things I can't pronounce, so I'll ask the physics people to help me later. Jimmy Carter, at 78, won a Nobel Prize, but in his 90s, he was still building homes, still doing humanitarian work, loving others. John Goodenow, 97 years old, won a Nobel Prize, you're going to love this, for lithium battery technology in the cell phones and in the cars. You may love or not love that guy so much, but in 97, he actually put that technology together. Mother Teresa, well into her 80s, was still loving those who were the least and the lost. I remember Mother Teresa getting asked why do you spend so much time with these people who are about to die? Because she would take the people that the hospital discarded and love them. And she said, I want to give them one more glance at the face of Jesus Christ on earth before they see the face of Jesus Christ in heaven. Nola Oakes, 95, became the oldest college graduate in the world, earning a bachelor's degree at 95 years old. Corrie ten Boom, you know her story, going strong at 80. George Beverly Shea in his 90s, singing at Billy Graham crusades. In fact, Billy Graham held a crusade at 86 in New York City, 86 years old, preaching to thousands and millions around the world. J.I. Packer continued his ministry in his 80s, writing, teaching, influencing others, and you all know Elizabeth Elliot, incredible missionary, broadcasting, teaching into her 80s. And finally, I never knew this individual. I can't pronounce it well, but I think it's Faja Singh. Faja Singh became internationally famous for marathon running at an extraordinary age. He began distance running at 89 years old and completed a marathon. That's 42 kilometers, 26 miles. Faja completed a marathon at 101 years old, becoming the global symbol of aging healthy. I remember being at the finish line of a swim in an Ironman, and hundreds of thousands of people in the water. And I remember watching this one guy come out of the water. Most people stand up about waist high and they start to run out of the water, but this guy was just doing this. Older man, as he got out of the water, his legs were all wrapped together because he was paralyzed from the waist down. They picked him up, put him on his bike, and off he went for 150 kilometers on a bike like this. And he finished. And behind him, this 80-year-old lady came, very well known to the marathon people, the Ironman. You've heard of maybe Sister Madonna. And she got out of the water, and I was new to the game. I'm just watching. And this commentator said from Australia, he said, oh, there's Sister Madonna. She's 80 years old today, completing her 35th Ironman competition. All that to say, my dear friends, there's lots the Lord has for you. You're not finished yet. But I want to just talk about the one more step. One more step. Caleb said to Joshua, I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out on the land. Hey, Moses, I'm still as strong today as I was back in the day. Give me that mountain. I'll climb it. Beautiful people. So the walking with the Lord. The Hebrew word walk is halach. I like gutturals. Halach, you can taste them. Just don't say it too loud in front of people. It could get a little nasty. It means to come, to proceed, to move forward. But it's not just a walk. It's when you see the word walk, he walked before the Lord. It has everything to do with your conduct. God is with you. God is watching. How's your conduct? How do you behave? The range of usage moves from physical motion to the comprehensive idea of a person's life direction. Your walk, your next step is in a direction. It's on a trajectory. Is that trajectory completely centered on the person and the life of Christ? It's not just about physical motion, it's life direction. It could talk about footsteps across the desert, the inner journey of faith, your thought life, the moral path of obedience, and future redemption in Christ. That's what the word means. So when you hear it, it should ignite in your heart a little bit more than just a step forward. Genesis 3, the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord walking. Now, God does not have feet. So when the Bible uses words for God's movement or action, the feet of the Lord, the arm of the Lord, the eyes of the Lord, the ears of the Lord, it's a fabulous little term that's called an anthropomorphism. try to say that a few times quickly, anthropomorphism. In other words, God is being described in human terms, and he's walking in the cool of the day, and he asks Adam a question. And what's the question God asks Adam? Where are you? Great question. Great question for all of us. And Adam's hiding because he's been disobedient, and he's hiding. Isn't it beautiful that God pursues him? They were in an intimate relationship. Peter did such a great job recently about unpacking that. Intimacy, into me see. Adam and Eve in a garden with God, looking into each other's thought life. Imagine being able to look into your thoughts and mine, being unashamed, calm, and safe, knowing exactly what everyone's thinking. That's intimacy, into me see. I was told as a young man, the greatest decision you're ever going to make is who to follow, your Jesus. The second biggest one is who will you walk with as a lifetime partner as you follow Jesus. Thank God for my wife. Thank you for honoring her today. So they're walking together, Adam, Eve, and the Lord. In the cool of the day, every morning, every evening, they're in intimacy. Can I give you something terribly simple and terribly practical? How about start every day with a walk with Jesus? It might be your walk to work or your commute in the car, or maybe you just want to get up a little bit earlier and give the Lord 10 minutes of listening time. I'm going to just go for a little walk. And at the end of the day, Lord, I'm just going to go for a little walk with you. My favorite times with my wife are when we're walking, or now we paddleboard around creeks, and there's no screens and there's no phones. There's just time together. I know it sounds a little rudimentary, but I promise you in the next few weeks, September especially, you're going to get so busy. You're going to get really stressed, and you're going to get to Christmas and the family holidays, and everybody who you're mad at will pile up. Instead, why don't we just push the brakes on now and slow everything down? God says, where are you? I want to continue our walk together. Adam walked with God in the garden, and Adam points to a greater Savior named Jesus. As in Adam all sin, so in Christ all will be made righteous. As in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. You're made to walk in intimacy with God. You're created to walk faithfully with God. Intimacy, faithfulness. Enoch walked with God faithfully, and then he was no more because God took him away. It is appointed for man to die once and then to face judgment. You have an appointment. God will take you home when he's ready to take you home. Lots to do. Hang in there. Be patient. Be patient. Enoch walked with God. Then he was not because the Lord took him home. He just simply said one day, Enoch, we're going to have supper at my place tonight. It points to a everlasting Savior. Enoch, again, every character in the Bible has a beautiful trajectory towards Jesus. We're created to walk in intimacy, created to walk faithfully. And in Noah's day, we're created to walk through difficult times, created to walk through difficulty. The Lord saw how great the wickedness of the human race was on earth. Every inclination, all the thoughts of the human heart were only evil all the time. We're back. We're back. This generation looks a lot like Noah's, if you haven't noticed. Every inclination of all the thoughts of the human heart were only evil all the time. I call it the screen age wasteland. Screen age wasteland. We need to put these away more often. Little warning. But the good news was, Jesus, God looked down on the sons of men and their daughters and said his heart was filled with pain. I'm going to push the reset button. And there's a beautiful word, but Noah. But Noah found grace, favor, mercy in the eyes of the Lord. You see, the eyes of the Lord roam to and fro throughout the whole earth, looking for a heart that is fully committed to him, perfect towards him. That's the trajectory Are you perfect? No. Is your trajectory towards the Lord Jesus Christ? I want to be like him. I want to walk like him. Noah simply said, God, here's my hands, my feet, my eyes, my ears, my body. Would you use it to bring glory to yourself? And Noah was rescued from the flood waters. And he points to Jesus, who went through a very painful circumstance to rescue and to save the world. Abraham, we're called and created to walk one step at a time in the presence of God. Abraham, when Abraham was 99 years old, my dad's 99, that's pretty cool, eh? When Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord said to him, I am God Almighty, El Shaddai. I'm God, walk before me. Now that's really beautiful, gang, because when he says, I'm El Shaddai, walk before me and be blameless. That little word before is one of my favorites. It's pa'anim. And pa'anim means a face that turns. A face that turns. You walk before the living God face to face. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his pa'anim, the face that turns towards you. May the Lord make his face turn towards you. May the Lord lift up his countenance, that's panim again. May he turn his face two times. May he turn his face towards you. And when God turns his face towards you, he says, this is my beloved child in whom I'm well pleased. Walking faithful in the presence of God himself. The word panim links intimacy in relationship with covenantal responsibility. That little child is going to take one step at a time, and then one day they're going to be launched, as it were, by mom and dad. The Bible uses the term arrows, may your quiver be full. And we launch children into their future, and then they begin to walk on their own. Intimacy with God also leads to responsibility on planet Earth. David, another beautiful picture pointing to God himself. In the Lord Jesus Christ, David, one little boy standing in front of a giant, one boy, little boy, young boy, giving his life for the nation. And what does David, oh, this is so good. What does David say in Psalm 23? Yea, though I walk. Isn't that beautiful? Walk through the valley of the shadow of death. We all face it. You may be facing it now. There's the giant. You walk through the valley, and God says, I will be with you. I love David. We're created to walk with purpose. David writes, your word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. The lamp, of course, and the light always point to the one who said, I am the light of the world. He who walks with me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. David's pointing through the law to the person of Jesus. And in Zechariah, Jesus is called the capstone. Psalm 132, here I will increase the power of David, my anointed one, and he will be a light for my people. Book of Revelation, the city does not need any sun or the moon to shine. The glory of God gives it light, and the Lamb, Jesus himself, is the light. When you're walking in the ancient world, you have a little lamp that just shows you the very next step. That's the word that lights your way. Early in the morning, I will seek you. I open the word. I take another step. I encourage all of us to get on that trajectory of stepping one step at a time. Solomon says, whoever walks with integrity walks securely. Walk in integrity, walks securely. Isaiah, we just read it. They will walk and not be faint, soaring like wings as eagles, running and not be weary, walk and not faint. Created to walk in humility. Micah says, he has shown you, O man, O mortal human being, what is good. What does the Lord require of you? Micah 6:8, but to Good memory verse. I know you know it. What does the Lord require? To act justly, love mercy, and to walk humbly. Act justly, love mercy, walk humbly before your God. Three commands, awesome in Scripture. And I had a dear rabbi friend. His name's Jerry. And Jerry wanted to know, and he asked the Lord very clearly, Father, do I need some humbling? Is there areas in my life that need to change? I've been with this man for years. I've never been around a more humble person in my whole life. And during those years, he sat down and said, Lord, is there anything I need to change? And he put together 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, and I've added to it 8 pages, 12 font of areas where he was walking in pride. I put him in my Bible as a reminder. Here's a few. Am I envious or jealous when another person is honored instead of me? Can I easily say I'm sorry when I was wrong? Forgive me, help me, pray for me. Am I covetous, desiring what someone else has? Do I gossip? Do I have feelings of gladness when someone I don't like is humbled? Do I react or become defensive when I'm corrected, criticized, or a mistake is made? Do I dislike it when I'm ignored? Do I have a competitive spirit, wanting always to be the better person, having the last word, always wanting to win? Am I quick to justify or explain myself, telling my side of the story when someone points to my shortcomings? Am I discontent, dissatisfied, frustrated, or resentful? Am I self-focused, preoccupied, my agenda, I want, I think, I feel, my ambitions, my careers? It goes on. And this is where we say, Lord Jesus, you have given me the Spirit of the living God, and that Spirit is, the fruit of the Spirit are, love, thank you, joy, thank you, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, self-control. Receive the gift, thank him for it, because if you're going to tick off the pride boxes, I'm sorry, it's really tough. Come to the table with your pride. Come to the table today with your sin. Come to the table with your brokenness and say, this isn't about me. It's about a broken body and a poured out sacrifice so I can be whole, so I can walk in integrity, because you can't live the Christian life apart from Christ. John 1. 1 John, whoever claims to live in him, Jesus, must walk as Jesus did. To this you were called, says Peter. Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should walk. Called to suffering, called to walk through pain, called to walk in simplicity and thankfulness, called to walk in simplicity and thankfulness. Colossians 2, 6 and 7. Just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, like a child coming to your mommy and daddy, just like you received him, what is about? Continue to, you're getting the message, continue to walk. Strengthen the faith as you were taught and overflowing with thankfulness. Does your heart overflow? Does it pour out with, I'm just so thankful? You ever been around a thankful person? They just can't stop saying thanks. It's wonderful. Ever been around a person who can't stop complaining? It's hard. Micah 5, created for an end game, created for eternity. Micah 5, all the nations may walk in the name of their gods, but we will walk in the name of the Lord forever and ever. We walk in the name of Yahweh, the King of Kings, forever and ever. This is what the Lord says: if you will walk in obedience and keep my requirements, then you get to govern my house. Enoch, I got some work for you to do in the kingdom. Then you get to govern my house and have charge in my court, and I will give you a place among these standing here, and in the particular context in Zechariah, it's the heavenly hosts. Created to walk by faith. 2 Corinthians 5:7, we walk by faith, not by sight. Listening to a friend recently, and he left church, and he was holding hands with his daughter, and as they walked out of church together, she pulled his arm and said, "Daddy, Daddy." And he was preoccupied, and, "Yeah, sweetie, Daddy, Daddy." And there was a sense of, she's little, and she kept pestering him. And finally, he looked down, yeah. She goes, "Look, Daddy, I'm walking just like you." That's the end game. People would look at your life and mine and say, "Wow, they walk like Jesus." Father, may we be people who not only talk about walking with you, but look like we're walking with you. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on us so that we can be known or unknown, but always may it be said of us, they walked with God and then they were not because God took them home. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Communion is a wonderful time of remembering what God has done, his actions of coming to earth, dying for your sin and mine, and raising again. And we always invite people to come. To come and to receive. Bryce Crawford, young boy, Christian school, amazing family, very, very well educated and memorizing the verses and getting close to God. Bryce Crawford had been given an opportunity to go and visit his grandfather who got pancreatic cancer in the hospital, and he froze. There was high expectations on him as a good little Christian boy, and he froze, and he didn't want to go. His dad said he could die any time. "Why don't you just, you know, come and see him?" And Bryce said, "You know what, Dad, I just can't go tonight." And Grandpa died, and this little Christian boy with all the framework and all the potential got so disappointed, he said, "If that's God killing my grandfather, I'm out." And he went into a life of absolute distance, reckless, "I'll try everything, do anything." And it was drugs and sexuality and perversion until on Christmas Day, he went to the one Waffle House that was open and said, "I'm going to have one more meal and then I'm done." And he had planned his exit, suicide. And the line was so long on Christmas Day because nothing else was open, he had to partner up with another gentleman who was there in the line. And he basically said to this gentleman, "Can we sit together? I just want to get a meal in." And when they sat down, they got in, they were having the meal together, and this man could not stop talking about his divorce and the wife who was leaving him. He was devastated. And Bryce simply just was like, "Oh, can you just stop talking so I can have this meal and end my life?" And the man said this, "I love my wife desperately, but love unreciprocated cannot come to fruition." You see, God loved you so much, he gave. But if it's unreciprocated, if you don't love him back, it stops the flow. And this little boy, Christian school trained, Bible school trained, vacation Bible school, He said, at that moment, every Bible verse I was made to memorize, all the scriptures, the vacation Bible school, the Sunday schools, the chapels in the Christian schools, downloaded. And I realized, God loves me so much. I've never taken the opportunity to aggressively and recklessly, maybe just one more step, love him back. And he went out to his car, uncontrollable sobs, and came back to Christ. And he was so excited. He's now an evangelist. And Alan, you'll love us. He runs up to him. This is a first trial. He wanted to evangelize him. He would run up to him, Jesus loves you. And then he'd run away because he didn't want to feel the rejection. That was step one. Then he realized if you're in an elevator, you can talk to people about Christ. You got about a minute. And he told Jesus in the elevator. And then he found out, oh, barber shop. That's a long conversation. People coming to Christ. And then finally he goes to a restaurant and starts to share his joy of Jesus to the server. And she's, I'm not here to hear about Jesus. She bolts. Next server comes by. Don't talk to me about Jesus. She bolts. Manager comes over. And he says to the manager, you know, if you could ask Jesus anything, what would you ask him? She loses it, comes to Christ, receives him. The next week, he goes back to the restaurant, and the two girls there who rejected him are like, oh, what are you doing here? They're going to call the manager to get rid of him. Manager comes out to get rid of him. Bryce. See, the gospel wants to replicate itself. And all you have to do is say thank you for what you've done, because it's not about me and what I've done. It's about you. And I can't say it any better than the song by Casting Crowns, but I'm going to let you guys sing first, and then I'm going to read this song, and then we'll go into communion. Thanks.
Please join with us.